Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
Welcome to Sister Share. We're so happy you joined us this week. We are six sisters living around the world who gather to discuss ideas and thoughts on motherhood and raising children and everything related to our lives. Tonight we have four sisters on the call.
Hi, I'm Lorraine from Idaho.
I'm Nettie from Okinawa, Japan.
This is Mimi from Logan, Utah.
And I'm Katie from Spanish Fork.
Tonight's topic is Sacred Sabbath. So we want to talk about things we do in our homes and share ideas for keeping our Sundays family-centered and with the feeling of Christ, and also tips for in church and how we keep the feeling of Christ in our homes at church. Sometimes that's the trickiest part. So who wants to get us started off?
I'll go first. I love music in the morning. I think that's one key ingredient, just turning on some beautiful sacred music to help people wake up with the right spirit and fill our home with the spirit. It always sets a good mood.
I second that, Mimi. Just turning on the music as the mom wakes up, even as the kids, if they're waking up slowly on Sunday, they know today's a little bit different. It's Sunday.
Yeah, one thing, I love that too, and it's so nice to have quiet music playing in the house. One other thing we've also done, Sunday is our one cold cereal day, but breakfast always stays on the counter for about half an hour, and everybody just comes and eats as they get ready for church. They need to be ready for church in order to eat breakfast. That has just alleviated so much of the running around and being slow. The kids wake up hungry, and they know that they need to be dressed and ready to walk out the door before they eat breakfast. And that's helped keep our mornings calm and on time and quiet.
We'll start trying that, Ray. That's a great idea. I think that Sunday is the Sabbath, and the world can view that however they want. I know for me as a mom, I love Sunday because I feel like it's a little bit different. We can let down and just be with our family. And to me, it's not a burden. It's a blessing that it's a day of rest. So I can see how just having like cold cereal Sunday would make your life a little bit easier. One thing we've tried to do is keep our Sunday clothes on. We dress up for church, and then we wear them throughout the day. So if our church is at 9 a.m., then we come home and we keep our Sunday clothes on, our dresses and shirts and ties and skirts and blouses. If church is in the afternoon, we get up and start by putting our Sunday clothes on. And I just have noticed that that reminds us all day long. This is the Lord's Day. This is a day of rest. We do things differently today. And again, to me, that's not a burden. That's been a blessing.
I second that. I think that it helps us remember who we are and what activities are appropriate on a Sabbath day. If it's not something that we can do in our Sunday clothes, then maybe we need to rethink that activity. Another thing that we have done and made a habit in our family is that whenever church is, right before we gather and have family prayer, before we walk out the door, that's the last thing we do. And I've always loved that as we can pray about the sacrament or what we're fasting about, and then we get in the car peacefully, quietly, and go to church in a reverent mood.
Sometimes we get to church not in a good mood because, unlike Lorraine's scenario, we are running late, or there's somebody that has lost a shoe or whatever may be the case. And so finally somebody yells, "Let's get in the car." And so that's not the best mood to be in when you arrive at church. So I love that, Ray, to have a prayer and to have a plan. And part of that plan can be on Saturday night, laying out Sunday clothes, gathering everything that you're going to need so that you're not frantically rushing around trying to find something that's lost Sunday morning.
I love that reminder, Mamie. I love the song, "Saturday is a Special Day." It really is a special day. It's the eve of Sunday. And I see a huge difference when I spend some time Saturday to physically get ready for Sunday. It makes Sunday so much better. And I have to say, even though Sunday's a day of rest, there's so much physical preparation that can go into that. Finding all the clothes and the shoes and making sure you have meals ready. And as much as we can do on Saturday, I think, is a blessing. Many years ago, probably 20 years ago, I remember attending a church meeting and someone shared the story of their mother. And even today, it makes me feel very emotional to share it because it resonated with me so strongly. But there was a couple and they had quite a few children. And the dad was busy at church, and so he would leave for church early in the morning. And then the family would arrive at church, and always when they arrived at church, everyone was in a terrible mood. They were late, and the kids would say, well, mom yelled or whatever. And she was a wonderful mother. And it bothered the dad because he was having a spiritual Sunday morning, and then his family came and they weren't in the same mood. And so he sat down, they sat down as a couple, and he said, what's the issue? And her reply was, it's the shoes. The shoes are the problem. They finally pinpointed it, that they could never find all the shoes before they got in the car. And so somehow that Saturday, they reworked everything. And before the dad left on Sunday morning, he was the one who lined up all the shoes by the front door and made sure all the Sunday shoes were there with matching pairs for everybody. And that was it. That was the missing link for the whole family to arrive. So sometimes in my mind, I just hear that phrase, the problem is the shoes. And it just makes me think of those times when you're trying so hard to get people ready for church and it just does not come together. And sometimes if we can go back and pinpoint those little pieces, then it can change everything.
I love that. And prevention is huge. And I also think that prevention is even, there's always going to be an emergency. I just remember every time I had a new baby, I thought, oh, new babies are so easy. Like they just, you get them ready and they'll just sit there and wait for you. And it just seems like it always took us an extra half hour to get out the door. When we had a new baby, I forget to nurse we had a blowout or something was going wrong. So it always took us a little bit. I think sometimes we have to give ourselves grace for the emergencies. We're taking our children to church. And if we can be spiritual about it, that's what our children will read. They won't remember if we were on time every week or how well they were dressed or if their hair was done, but they'll remember that Sabbath was a special day and we had the right attitude about it.
Beautiful, Ray. One thing that we like to do because of how close our church is to walk to church. And we usually do it year round unless the weather's really bad. And that is really fun. It's just really fun. It's a couple blocks away and it helps us, at least for my kids, it's motivation to get out the door on time so that we have enough time to get. We have to have left by a certain time in order to walk to church because it does take a little bit longer than dragging. But it's just a fun way to interact with each other and calmly walk into church. It's been really a blessing.
I would just second that. Our church is actually 2 miles from us, but we walk to church unless it's ridiculously hot and I'm pregnant. But even when it's ridiculously hot, if I'm not pregnant, we'll walk. And I have some of my best conversations with my kids as we're walking. I mean, 2 miles is not a short walk in Sunday clothes and Sunday shoes, but we have some great conversations. And I would also say for us, it's not the shoes on Sunday morning, it's the bathroom. So if anyone has any ideas on how to get 11 people in and out of a bathroom and in the car on time, I'd love it. Or even, you know, out to the road to walk on time, I'd love suggestions.
One thing we did when we had a bunch of little kids, and I know nothing's really a competition on Sunday, but we always had boys and girls, and it was kind of a quiet competition, but we kind of knew it was happening, like who's going to be out the door first, the boys or the girls? And I'm on the girls' team, and my husband's on the boys' team. And we would kind of whisper to each other, oh, help so-and-so, the girls are almost ready. or help so-and-so, the boys are almost ready. And it just became like this friendly thing. And then we would like run out to the road and start walking or jump in the car, and everyone would be squealing and, "We're going to make it. We're going to make it. Come on, girls. One last person. Jump in your seatbelt. Buckle up." It just turned into a really fun thing. And so you maybe just try that. Just be like, "Honey, you're in charge of the boys. I'm in charge of the girls. Let's see who gets in the car first."
Love it, man. And another thing that's helped our family is that James is a very on-time person. When he was growing up, he learned that if you're not 15 minutes early, then you're late. And because of that, our family has been on time to church because he makes it happen. And it's been a blessing. I think it's helpful that if you find that you're getting late to church or having a struggle getting out the door, just reset your clock in your mind and decide, "Oh, we really need to be ready 20 minutes earlier than what we're shooting for." And when you shoot for earlier, then you find that you do have the more leisure time to chat, to be together, to not be stressed, and it can be beautiful. But like Ray said, give yourself grace when there are emergencies, because everybody has them. We all have moments when we arrive at church and wonder if we even still like each other.
What about at church? Any tips for getting through church with littles and family?
I have a question. We have a situation we've never really had before. Our number 7 is a sunbeam. And I feel like when they're in nursery, I'll hand them off and they'll be crying. And I'm like, "Sorry, that's your job." It's our job to make sure that they know how to go to class. And this is how we do it. So, but once they get to primary, then I always say, "If they're a problem, come get me." Because I want to make sure my kids are behaving. But I have a sunbeam who left nursery and will not go to sunbeams. She won't sit with her sunbeam class. She won't go in without me. And sometimes we have to have her sit with her older sister, which we've never had to really do that before. So she'll sit with her older sister. And then sometimes when the class is split up, then she'll go with the sunbeams. And sometimes she'll throw a fit and then they'll come get me in Relief Society. And I don't know how to handle the situation. So just last week, I brought her to my adult class because I had a baby and didn't want to take my baby to sunbeams because I knew that wouldn't be helpful. But then I feel like she got away with exactly what she wanted, which was not, I think, a good solution.
Ray, I think this is where your advice comes in.
I was going to say.
The outside needs to be worse than inside.
Ray would be the expert on this.
Well, I don't know that I have the solution, Kate. And again, I think sometimes there's just a child and you have to deal with that child on their own level. I've had a couple like that. But I think generally a good principle is to make whatever you don't want happening less desirable than what you do want happening. And I don't know. I mean, maybe she hated Relief Society. Who knows? And she'll go to sunbeams next week and it'll be awesome. I know that with our kids, we practiced at home sitting and setting a timer. And I remember with some of my kids that didn't want to give talks in primary, having the family gather and having a microphone there, and we would set it up so that we were play acting through the situation that we knew was going to be hard. So I don't know that I've never done this, but my thought is maybe pretend she's going to sunbeams and talk about how fun the lesson will be and practice sitting. I don't know. But I know we did a lot of practicing. And when we have had to pull our kids out, we try to make the out less desirable than the in. That's all. And that usually is in sacrament meeting for us. So.
Yeah. And so I appreciate all that. And the part of the problem is that in sacrament meeting, you don't have any other commitments. So you can take your child out and make it, you know, hold them, say, "Oh, we couldn't sit by ourselves calmly in sacrament meeting. So I'm going to hold you here on the bench outside of sacrament meeting." And they don't love that very much. But we have commitments second hour. And so then it's hard to meet our commitments and still help our child. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Because you can't not teach Relief Society. You just have to manage so you can be where you need to be or wherever, whatever it is. In that case, I would probably do a reward if they, when they get home. If you went to Sunbeams today, here's your fruit snacks or whatever.
Or even a reward for everyone else who went to their class. Great. Come get your fruit snack.
We've done that too.
I also love your idea, Ray, about the practice. We've done that too. And I really feel like that makes a huge difference. We have, our practice has usually been sitting reverently on a bench because that's what we struggled with when we had a lot of little people. So we would do the practice at home and make it really fun with the treat at the end. Okay, we're setting the timer for 10 minutes. If we can all sit here reverently, I think it probably was 5 minutes, not 10 minutes, but we just set a certain amount of time and we practice being quiet for that amount of time and then we have a fun benefit treat at the end. Everybody was quiet and just having a practice time at home reminds them of the expectation in a more positive environment when they're not right there in the situation and then they know exactly what to do. It doesn't work perfectly, but I do think it helps a lot.
I second Mamie. Practices have worked great. And frankly, if there's anything they are asked to do at church, you can also practice ahead of time. If they need to give a talk in primary, you can go early into that primary room and show them, this is where you're going to stand. Let's practice standing at the podium with that microphone. That is scary. Or if you're going to sing in sacrament meeting or in primary, let's go up ahead of time and practice. And we have to recognize that we can't just expect kids to jump up and do everything if they really aren't aware of what it's going to ask of them. One of my graduate classes right now is about behaviorism. And basically you can think of like, you know, Pavlov and how he made the dog salivate because he offered the treat. So we can use that as parents to an extent, but I need to remember where I was going with this. So I think helping children be successful ahead of time is helpful because then they can do it and then they don't get up to the podium and say, oh no, I just don't do that. Or they grow up never having been successful in a difficult situation at church or something like that. And then they say, well, that's just not me. Well, it's not that it's not just not you. It's that you haven't been taught that or haven't been successful at that yet. So as far as helping children go to class and do things that are a little bit scary, this is the perfect ground for teaching them and the perfect opportunity to really follow through with them and help them do it and be successful, even if they're nervous at first.
I think the bottom line is that we want, can you hear me?
Yes.
I think the bottom line is that we want them to love going to church. So as much as we can, we make it a positive experience, but we also want to teach expectations of how to act, which will come more naturally when they're older. They know better how to sit still. So it's a fine line between recognizing that they have big spirits in little bodies and are going to be squirmy and not know how to give a talk right away, but also helping them to learn that over the years in a way that they just are excited to go and love going.
And they can be successful at it.
Yeah. One thing that all of us know, because we did this growing up, and I'm pretty sure all of us do with our own families, is to sit up front in sacrament meeting in one of the first few pews, because then you don't have a lot of noise and distraction in front of you. That's one thing that's easy to eliminate. If you're up in the front, then the noise and issues with younger children are all behind you from other families, and you can hear better and see better, and it's easier to keep kids attentive.
And it's harder to run out if a child is misbehaving. So it's easier to just keep them in there and get through it.
I also have to say, it took me a few kids to learn that the less I had for them, the better they behaved. So when they knew that I was going to be handing them toys or snacks or treats, they misbehaved until I gave them that thing. And then when they ran out of the treats or the toy got, they got tired of it, they wanted more. And finally, I just stopped taking everything. And I found that they actually sat and behaved better when they knew there was no backup. We were just going to sit and listen. And I ended up liking that so much better. One other quick thought I had was that I remember so many weeks walking the halls for all the hours of church and wondering, why am I here? I'm not in a class. I'm not getting a lesson. I'm here with a screaming baby. I'm bothering everybody I pass. And this is so pointless. I'm just frustrated. And I remember thinking, I'm here because I have a testimony and I want my kids to know that we go to church every Sunday. And eventually they will grow out of this. There are lots of years of hall walking. There just are. And it wasn't a spiritual experience, but we have grown out of that. Church has been a habit. And I am so grateful that we stuck with it those weeks when I just dreaded going to church because I knew I'd be walking halls. Paid off.
One thing you taught me, Ray, that I actually didn't believe. we asked you when we just had a few kids what was helpful for you in sacrament meeting. You said, it doesn't make any sense, but I always sit next to Jared. And I was like, yeah, we're not to that moment in our lives. So we didn't implement it. But a few weeks later, our stake president spoke in church and asked all the couples to sit together. He said, you will do better. Your kids will learn what a celestial marriage looks like better if you sit together in church. So ever since then, we've sat together in church. And I have to say, it's changed our whole church experience. And it's, in some ways, it's harder because your kids are on the outsides. We're in the center, and then we have our kids on the outside. It's not like we're bookending a bench and they're running in between us. But in some ways, it's so much easier because we're on the same page. We can just look over and say, hey, there's a problem over here, you know, and have this short conversation and solve whatever problems right then.
Kate, I love that testimony. It's so cool. It is one of my all-time favorite things on Sunday and in our marriage. And Jared told me that when we first got married, and I didn't believe him either, but we have always stuck to it. And I agree with you. The best thing we've ever done at church is sit together. And I actually look forward to it. It's the only time of the week that I'm sitting next to my husband for an hour, just sitting next to him. And I love it. And you're right. It's easier actually to man the kids.
The other thing is that I love that the kids know that that's my seat. And so I don't even have to say, will you move over? They just know that's my seat. And if I have to take a baby out and then I bring a baby back in, they all move over. They know where I'm headed. And I love that they know that's my spot right next to my husband.
Yeah, love it. Hey, I want to jump in here. Can you hear me this time?
Yeah.
And talk about Katie's dilemma with the sunbeam, because it reminded me of something that I also feel is a principle. We want our children to see us serving in our callings and be willing to accept callings. And I remember a time in our family when I was the primary pianist. So I was playing in primary for the children, and James was the chorister. So he was leading. And we had a new baby at the time we were called, but then the baby grew. And so the baby was too young for nursery. And at one point it was too much because we had a baby that needed to be walking the halls. And both of us were there at the same time on demand for our callings. And I remember worrying about it. And then we realized it was just not the right time for us. And the principle that someone taught us is that you can be replaced in any calling that you're in, except for your calling as a mother. That always comes first. So if in doubt, refer to that and know that it's okay to go to the bishop or to the primary president or to whoever's managing your calling and say, right now, this is not working for our family and I need to be a mother. It's okay to do. So I just thought I'd put that in there.
I love it, Mamie. I was thinking about how Ray said she walked the halls and wondered if it would be worth it.
And today we went to church. We now only have 4 children at home. My husband's on the stand. My daughter's on the stand leading the music. My son's at the sacrament table. And I literally was on the big row with just 2 of my children. And I felt so sad. When did it get to this point? So many Sundays I could hardly get myself to go to church because I knew it was just going to be a mess and not worth my time. And I only did it for my children. And now I can sit there and nobody bothers me and hardly anybody's there with me. And it's so lonely. So everyone says it to everybody else, but enjoy it. It's not going to last forever. How about any other ideas after church to keep the Sabbath day holy with children?
So we just what I was going to bring up. And Ray, are you going to tell us about Sunday stations?
I can tell you what we do, which is sometimes more successful than other times. But I just have a little sheet that comes out every Sunday in plastic with a dry erase marker so the kids can mark their initials in the box. We just have 4 stations. One is gospel study. They can do anything, read a friend, read their scriptures, play a church game like a prophet's matching game. One is family history, and they will write in their journal or they'll get on an index or whatever, something with family history. One is reach out to somebody else. So that often when we have a missionary out means write to their missionary, write to whoever is in our family is on a mission, or write a note to someone in the family. I can't even remember the other one, but also they need to bring me a post-it note with their goals for the week. Every year as a family, we do personal goals in 4 areas, social, emotional, physical, spiritual. And then during the week, they write me a sticky. On their sticky, it just says so-and-so's goals. And they list 3 or 4 things they want to accomplish that week, and a box where they will check it off. And if they have to do it every day, like piano or homework or whatever, they do 5 boxes or whatever. So I need to approve what their plans are for the next week. And then they will show me their sticky with all their goals checked off and their new one for the new week. We have just our kitchen backsplash. We put everybody's sticky with their goals for the week so we can try to keep up on checking them off. Those are our Sunday stations. And when they do it, then they just come tell me I've done all my Sunday stations. And that's the only time we eat fruit snacks in our house. So I'll hand them their fruit snack if they have done their Sunday station. That's our motivation. Some weeks were better than others. Some kids are better than others. But that's done well for us for a while.
Ray, do you ever press them if they don't like ever do it? Do you ever say, hey, have you written in your journal? Or could I see some goals or anything like that?
That is a good question. Goals are a must do. I will just say I haven't seen your goals for the week. I would like to see them. Sometimes I do, especially if I see them reading a school book or something. I will just say, you know what? It's the Sabbath. Our Sunday things come first. Let's worship first. And then if you want to go read your novel or whatever you're into, then I'm fine with that. Just prioritize. So yeah, we do.
I feel like with my littles, that's worked, but now I have teenagers and I feel like they resent me if I say things like that. And I feel like these have always been our standards. How do I make this a positive experience?
Hey, it's welcome to teenagers. Just is what it is, I think. I don't know. Maybe Mame and Nan have insights on happy teenagers on Sunday.
No insights here. But I will say that one thing I try to do is keep my focus positive and non-emotional. So if they come and they're in a bad mood, I haven't done my journal yet and it's time for the treat and I want the treat, then I just say, well, I'd love to give you the treat. As soon as your journal's done, I'm happy to give you the treat. You know, instead of turning it into a negative on your side. Make sure that you feel love for them inside and that you express that love to them and not let their negativism penetrate. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's one thing I try and do.
Or even for our teens, like littles need more direction on Sunday about things they can and can't do and more options, and they're looking for ways to spend their time. But for my teens, it's pretty much down to just journal and missionary letter. So I try and just have the journal tree, and some of them will come and say, well, I wrote in my journal, you know, 2 days ago. Great. Let me see it. So you can get that journal tree or whatever. Like Mamie said, just keep it positive. And then write to a missionary. Or sometimes I'll just say, these things need to be done before dinner, and that's in 2 hours. So they have plenty of time to do it. But again, they're teenagers. They have ways they want to spend their Sunday too. So it's the littler people that we give more of options to, more of a list of things to try and fill their time. The only thing we really require of our teens is the journal and the missionary work. Go ahead.
I think what I love about Sunday stations is that you can do whatever you want. You can come up with whatever you want, and you can be creative. We've kind of stuck with four of the same things as we've been talking, but we have several elderly sisters in our ward, and I love it when my kids will bake a treat and take around bread or treats to people that are in need of a visit. Or one thing that we like to do is sing around the piano or do some sort of music, like dig out their violin and play some hymns on the violin, or there's so many different things you can do for Sunday stations. So just keep it fun and different and exciting.
Or call a grandparent, call a cousin. There's lots of things to do on Sunday. I agree. One of our favorite things on Sunday is to walk as a family. And usually we do that after dinner when my husband comes home. We'll just say it's time for our walk. And we have the best time. We just walk and walk and walk and talk and talk. And we're not home. Nobody can interrupt us. And it's to the point now where we all just wait for it. It's time for our Sunday walk. And it doesn't have to be long, but that's one of my favorite things about Sunday is when we're all just walking and talking and moving and out in the open air, and it just feels good.
I want to jump back for a minute to going to church. One thing that I appreciate about our family growing up, and also my husband's family growing up, that's been an easy transition for our family, is that we always go to church. Even if we're traveling, it's not something that we have to discuss or, oh, we want to camp this weekend, should we stay through Sunday? It's always just known that on Sundays, we make sure we're by a church and we go to church. And I think that goes a long way also for kids to see that that's a priority for us. Not in a strict way, but in a, this is what is important to us. We love God and we're going to worship him every Sunday.
Thanks, ma'am. I think that's highly valuable. And I think kids notice that too, that that's where the priority lies.
There's a rhetoric right now that says Sunday fun day. And a lot of people take it and turn it into their vacation day. But the longer I live, this makes me sound like an old woman, I just feel so grateful that we have a day of rest and a day of worship and a day of cleansing and a day of family and a day when we can't go out and just do recreation. It feels so good. And it helps us get ready for the next week. And kids can feel that too. The Sabbath is a blessing, not a burden.
Okay, I have to jump in again. One thing that has also been a blessing to our family is to treat it as a day of non-studying for tests, for schoolwork. That is also a huge blessing to have one day where you can't do homework, because there's so much, and our kids are very academic and they're driven, they want to get good grades, but having a day where they just know we're not going to do homework is a blessing to them also. And honestly, my testimony is that studies go better when you take a break one day a week from it on the Sabbath. You get better test scores. You manage your time better. So there are so many blessings for choosing not to study on the Sabbath.
Mame, I have to second that. We've done that too. And I've had my high school kids come up to me a couple of times and tell me how grateful they are that we have not done that. They just say it's so restful to know that even if I stay up till midnight on Saturday night, I will have 24 hours when I do not have to think about school. And sometimes they get up early Monday to finish stuff, but they know that Sunday they don't have to stress about it. It just is a break, and they have appreciated that. I have to say one other thing that we do every Sunday that has become more and more valuable as our kids got older is calendar. We just sit down, and my husband and I are here, and we both have our calendars, and we go through every day. We know who has what work schedule, who's going to what club, or who has when scouts is, and everything goes on the calendar that goes, well, my calendar sits on the counter, and everything goes on it. The kids know who's where, what time, and I know who's where, what time for the whole week, and then we don't have to revisit that again during the week, and it's been so helpful.
Good point, Ray. Well,
I think one day. Go ahead, Nan.
Go ahead, Katie.
I just think one of the things that we do on Sunday that's helpful for me, along with Ray said calendaring, is just presidency meeting, which is the meeting between my husband and I, and we go over the calendar, but also talk about our children and what we feel like their needs are, their struggles, how, you know, pray about it, discuss how we can help them. And also we're not always perfect at, we call them family councils, although they're a little different from family councils that we grew up with, where we sit around as a family and discuss what's going well, what's not going well, how can we solve these problems, how can we work together. And one of the things we always bring up in family council is, what's our family fun time look like this week? When is it going to happen? What fun thing are we going to do as a family? Anyway, but those two meetings on Sunday have, I felt like, elevated our family.
Thanks, Mamie, for reminding us of that. One image that keeps coming to mind is when Lorraine and Mamie were talking a few minutes ago is, any other aspect of our lives, like if you were working full time and the boss said, once a week, I'm requiring you to not be in the office no matter what, you would jump on it. You wouldn't insist, well, I just need an hour here, an hour there. No, that's how the Sabbath is. We don't need to insist that it's time to catch up and do a bunch of other stuff. We just need to be grateful that it's been given to us and it's a gift in our families to invite the Spirit and to refocus and recenter ourselves and take time with our children and worship and learn together. I'm so thankful for the Sabbath day. Let's just do a quick recap of ideas we've shared. Start with music, wear your Sunday clothes, prepare the night before, practice at home, sit together at church, don't bring treats and toys, sit up front, stick with it, attend church regularly, try Sunday stations, try different activities, and remember motherhood comes first and the Sabbath is a gift. Thanks everyone for joining us, and we will see you again on Sister Share, and we hope you all have a wonderful Sabbath.
Goodbye. See you later.
Bye. Thank you. Love you all.
Thanks for tuning into Sister Share. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again next week.